Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and disasters and figure out who's to blame. Today we're going to be talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Look, I know this is a big one, but as someone who was raised Catholic and did all of her CCD classes and got all her sacraments, I'm still unqualified to talk about this, but we're going to do it anyway. Here's what you need to know about JC. According to the Bible's New Testament, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem to Mary, a virgin who had been visited by the angel Gabriel, sent by God, and told that she would give birth to the Son of God, and Joseph, her husband. This is called divine intervention. The couple was traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, possibly to take part in the census, and found themselves in quite a predicament. Mary went into labor while on their trip, and there was absolutely no vacancy at the inn. Their only option was to stay in a manger, and that's where Jesus was born, in a manger. Many people think that Jesus was probably born in September or October during Sukkot, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, rather than on December 25th. This would explain why there was a lack of guest rooms available, and scholars believe that it was sometime between 6 BC and 4 BC. There was very little written about Jesus' early life. In fact, he doesn't really start popping up in the writings until he's 30. That's when he appears as a disciple of John the Baptist, who baptizes him and recognizes him as the Son of God. It is believed that John was somewhat of a mentor to Jesus, but John was considered a dangerous man and was executed by Herod, the Roman ruler in Galilee. After John's death, Jesus started his own movement and recruited his own disciples and followers. He became known to the people of Galilee as a healer, a miracle worker, and a preacher of the kingdom of God. Eventually, Jesus, along with his disciples, made his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, the city where power lay. He was to make his first appearance there as the Son of God. It was Passover, the Jewish feast of celebration for their liberation from the Egyptians, and it was a dangerous time to be in Jerusalem. It was a place of high tension, and it was well known to both Caiaphas, who governed the city, and Pilate, the Roman prefect to whom the high priest was responsible, that the festivals were likely times of uprisings. It is possible that 500,000 Jews gathered in the city for Passover, and Pilate braced himself. According to the Gospels, Jesus arrived in Jerusalem on a donkey on a Sunday. Then, on Monday, he made his way to the Jewish temple. This was the heart of Jerusalem's political and religious establishment. Jesus then proceeded to drive the money changers and traders from the precincts by overturning their tables and clearing the temple. Reports of the trouble being caused by Jesus reached the Roman authorities. They needed to find him, but they didn't know where he was. The next day, Tuesday, along with his disciples, Jesus heads to the Mount of Olives that overlooks Jerusalem. There, he speaks to them in parables about his second coming and the final judgment. Scriptures indicate that this is where one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, negotiated with the rabbinical court of ancient Israel to betray Jesus. Apparently, nothing happened on Wednesday. Scholars believe Jesus and his disciples took the day off in preparation for Passover, which leads us to Thursday. This would come to be known as the Day of the Last Supper. That evening, after sunset, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and then shared the feast of Passover, saying,
"I have been eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins, for I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Jesus definitely knew something was up. He blessed the bread and wine and gave it to his disciples, proclaiming the bread was his body and the wine was his blood. Late that evening, Jesus was betrayed with a kiss by Judas. Judas led armed men sent by chief priests to arrest him. They took Jesus to the high priest and his counselors, who had all gathered. Jesus was first accused of threatening to destroy the temple, but his charge was not substantiated. Caiaphas, the high priest, then asked him if he was the Christ, the Son of God. Whether he actually responded yes or his response simply inferred to it is heavily disputed. But however it happened, the high priest took it to mean yes, and he decried blasphemy. Jesus was subsequently arrested. In the early morning hours, as Jesus' trial was getting underway, Peter famously denied knowing him three times before the rooster crowed. This is the day we know as Good Friday. As the story goes, Judas, the disciple who had betrayed Jesus, was overcome with remorse and hanged himself on that early Friday morning. Meanwhile, Jesus was sentenced to death by crucifixion. The Roman soldiers then mocked him. They clothed him in a purple robe and pierced him with a crown of thorns as they forced him to carry his own cross all the way to Mount Calvary. There, Jesus was stripped and nailed to his wooden cross by Roman soldiers. He died hours later, at the likely age of 33. Fun facts, aka death stats. The part of the cross that Jesus carried was the crossbar, weighing in at 75 to 125 pounds. Jesus' final hours on the cross lasted from approximately 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., a period of about 6 hours. Christian gospels say that the skies darkened for hours after the crucifixion, which historians viewed either as a miracle or a portent of dark times to come. Using astronomy, later historians have used this mention to pinpoint the death of Christ. Some tie the crucifixion to a 1 minute, 59 second, total solar eclipse that occurred in 29 AD. Jesus' death ultimately occurred through a combination of constrained blood circulation, organ failure, and asphyxiation as the body strained under its own weight. Crucifixion was most frequently used to punish political or religious agitators, pirates, slaves, or those who had no civil rights. Jesus was not the only one to be executed that day. Two other men who were charged for being thieves were also nailed to their wooden crosses by Roman soldiers. With us today, we have producer Amanda.
Hello, everyone.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi, Chris Smith, reporting for Fact Checking.
And our two very special guests, reporting from their very own house, Matt Hobby and Mary Grill.
Good evening.
Now, you'll remember Matt from the bridge collapse episode, mm-hmm. and you also remember Mary from the Salem witch trials. But today they will be talking as a married couple.
We will, in unison through the whole recording.
It's going to be incredible. It's an incredible feat, a totally improvised conversation of two people saying the exact same thing at the exact same time.
Correct.
What an exciting
Correct.
Thing.
Yeah. That's as good as it was going to go.
That's right.
Tell us your background with Christianity.
I went to Catholic school from kindergarten through college. So I don't know. I feel like I have a sturdy base.
I was raised Episcopalian, did Sunday school, went to an Episcopalian school, and am now a skeptic.
I will also, can I interject also
yeah,
that
please.
Matt, like when he was like 12 or 13,
sure.
Was like, I will no longer be doing religion, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I won't be doing it.
I was punk.
Yeah, my parents would have been like, go to church right now. I would have gotten in such big trouble.
Yeah.
How did they react?
They were not into it, but I think they were sort of like, he's just being defiant now. He'll come around. And then
you skated away with your long hair
exactly.
and your Vans.
Yeah, but I was on rollerblades and
cool.
Yeah. Lots of I had knee pads, elbow pads, a helmet. I was that was my punk.
I have kind of maybe a stupid question. Is Jesus real?
Yes.
I mean, we all don't know, but I think he was. I think he was a man. Whether he was the man we think he was is up for debate, up for grabs, but I think he was a historical figure.
Could he be right? Like a Shakespeare? Like maybe Shakespeare was also like a bunch of playwrights who all wrote under the
couple
same
of guys.
Name.
Yeah, same thing with Braveheart.
Yeah,
same. It was like a couple of guys.
Yeah.
Like is Jesus a collective?
Jesus is Braveheart.
Our first question.
Yeah.
Well, isn't the whole convenient like historical mystery that like we can't know if Jesus existed because if we find evidence of Jesus, then it undermines the entire miracle of Jesus. Like if you find his bones, homeboy didn't rise.
Wow. Oh, I see. If you actually find him. That's a perfect segue to start putting people up on the board mm-hmm. for the death mm-hmm. and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can start off by, first of all, saying that the point of this episode is not to convert anyone. So we're just treating it like a historical
situation. Yeah, right.
Did my parents put
you up to this? Did my parents put you up to this?
This is an intervention.
Obviously, the first people that need to go up on the board are the Romans. According to this Timeline documentary, which I found on YouTube, the Romans had abolished the Jewish monarchy, so anyone calling himself the king of the Jews would have been seen as a rebel against the power of Rome. Now, according to Alan D. Callahan, an associate professor of the New Testament, he writes, "Why was Jesus killed? The Roman answer is good enough for me. He was causing trouble. He constituted a security risk, and he was dealt with the way the Romans always deal with security risks in the provinces. This was a matter of not
even so much politics as policy. The manner of his death can also tell us about who killed him. Professor Callahan states that it was a Roman job. There is no mistake about that. There has been some examination of the question of whether Jews actually crucified people in any circumstances, and there's some evidence that crucifixions did take place. Members of the Pharisee party at one point were crucified, maybe a century and a half before Jesus, but that's disputed. It's a Roman form of execution, and it was a public execution on a political charge. So this was a time of tension in Jerusalem between the Romans and the Jews. According to Britannica.com, at times, the divide between monotheistic and polytheistic religious views caused clashes between Jews and Gentiles. This friction, combined with oppressive taxation and unwanted imperialism, culminated in 66 AD in the first Jewish revolt. This is a 100-year rule that the Romans had in Judea during the time of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So
it sort of feels like the Romans are the empire, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the Jews are the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I actually put a name on the board? Do we put Jesus on the board? Is it his own fault?
Well,
that's Rebecca. Very deep.
Let's talk about Jesus for a sec.
Okay.
You know, according to BBC, quote, many experts believe that more than anyone else, the person responsible for the death of Jesus was Jesus himself. There is considerable body of evidence to suggest that everything he did was planned and that he knew what the consequences would be. Now, Jesus believed profoundly that he was on a mission from God and everything he did was to fulfill this mission. In the event of Holy Week, Jesus seemed to be deliberately acting out the prophecy in Hebrew scripture about Israel's true king, the anointed one, the Messiah, coming at last to be God's agent to redeem Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He was a rebel.
Mm-hmm. He was a rebel.
And he was acting rebellious. Mm-hmm.
Just like me on my rollerblades.
but was that why you wanted to put Matt? You brought up Jesus. Was that sort of what you were thinking? He brought it on himself to make a point.
Well, I mean, you were talking about he's the king of the Jews, right? And it's like if he's the one kind of giving himself that mantle, isn't he making himself a bigger figure when he maybe knows the consequences? If this is how Rome dealt with people. Anytime you had an insertion, you know, he's not the first person to be crucified. And a lot of the pictures, there's two other dudes up on crosses. We don't talk about them.
Well, we do. He welcomes them into the gates of heaven. I'm sorry.
Well,
but just circling back to the two guys who were next to him, I just occurred to me it would be funny if you went up to somebody who had a cross around their neck and you go, oh, you're a Christian. And he goes, no, this was the guy to his left.
So we have Jesus, we have the Romans. Who else are we going to throw up on the board?
We got to put Pontius Pilate up on the board. Pontius Pilate was the fifth governor of the Roman province of Judea, serving under Emperor Tiberius. The thing about Pilate is that when the New Testament is written, he's made to come off as someone who's like not really sure what to do about Jesus.
That's true.
But all historical accounts of him put him as this ruthless dictator. And now let's take a quick break to talk to Dr. Helen Bond, professor and director at the Center of the Study of Christian Origins at the University of Edinburgh. We're going to hear her perspective on Pontius Pilate. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Dr. Bond. So I've read a lot about how Pontius Pilate was a ruthless ruler. Is there truth to that? And can you speak to his particular style of ruling?
Yeah, I mean, it's strange because the Gospels give the impression that he's sort of pushed into crucifying Jesus as if he sort of doesn't really want to do that. But the Gospels have their own reasons for doing that because they want to put as much blame as possible on the Jewish authorities. And when you read other sources, particularly Jewish authorities about Jewish sources, rather, about Pilate, they're really, really negative. There's a guy called Josephus, a first century historian, and he was born just a little bit after Pilate, but he would have had good sources. And he says that he was pretty insensitive. He was, you know, expected to be boss in his own province. But the worst character assassination comes from a guy called Philo, who lived in Alexandria, and he was a direct contemporary of Pilate. And he gives a great long list of atrocities that Pilate got involved with. He says he was cruel, he was greedy, he sent people to death without any trial, and all kinds of lists of things. And he says he was a spiteful and angry person as well, as if all the rest wasn't bad enough. I mean, again, you have to be a little bit cautious and treat them with a pinch of salt. And, you know, they also have their reasons for being very negative about Pilate. But I'm sure, actually, that the truth is somewhere in between. And I don't think you get to be prefect of a Roman province if you're not pretty harsh and ruthless. I mean, he would have had some kind of background in the military. He would have been an alpha male who knew what he was doing, expected to be boss, probably very little time for the religious sensitivities of the people he's sent to govern. And I doubt he would have paid very much attention to Jesus at all. I mean, he'd have just heard, this is a troublemaker, he's got a following, he's doing things in Jerusalem we don't like, let's get rid of him. Because Pilate's main reason for being in Jerusalem is to maintain law and order. So, I mean, the whole point of what he's there for is to get rid of people like Jesus.
Do you believe that Pilate would have hesitated in sentencing Jesus to death, as is depicted in the gospel?
No, I don't think that's very likely to be true. I mean, of course, the gospel writers are all writing a long time after the death of Jesus anyway, at least 40 years, possibly 60, 70 years later. I doubt they know very much about the actual trial itself anyway. Someone like Pilate wouldn't have spent much time thinking about Jesus. I mean, Jesus is a provincial. He's a really, on the social scale, he's very, very low. He's not a Roman citizen. If you're a Roman citizen, then there's a whole kind of legal machinery that sort of comes into bearing. But if you're a provincial, you're sort of under the law. And I mean, it's hard for us to imagine just how cheaply the Roman state regarded most lives, particularly lives of people like Jesus. Pilate would have snuffed him out in a second if he thought that he was causing trouble. You know, he may hardly have needed to see him at all, just heard what he was up to and sent him to the cross.
You can check out the rest of the interview with Dr. Helen Bond on Thursday's episode of The Aftermath, and check out her book, The Historical Jesus, A Guide for the Perplexed. Now back to our conversation.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think this is a good transition now to talk about the Jews. So we need to talk about the Jews because in the Bible, they traditionally have taken the blame for the death of Jesus. Mm. The gospel points the finger at the Jewish leaders for plotting to execute Jesus, but many historical accounts point the finger elsewhere. According to BibleOdyssey.org, Jesus was indeed one of thousands of Jews crucified by the Romans. The New Testament testifies to the basic fact, but also allows for Jewish involvement in two ways. First, a few high-ranking Jewish authorities who owed their position and power to the Roman conspired with the Gentile leaders to have Jesus put to death. They're said to have been jealous of Jesus and to have viewed him as a threat to the status quo. Secondly, an unruly mob of people in Jerusalem called out for Jesus to be crucified. The number of persons in the crowd is not given, nor is any motive supplied for their actions, except to say that he had been stirred up. Whatever the historical circumstances might have been, early Christian tradition clearly and increasingly placed blame on the death of Jesus on the Jews, decreasing the Romans' culpability. The reason for this shift in emphasis is unclear, but one obvious possibility is that the church spread out in the world. Romans, rather than the Jews, became the primary targets of evangelism. Thus, there could have been some motivation to let Romans, quote, off the hook and blame the Jews for Jesus' death.
So that ties into sort of the whole Pilate discussion, right, where he leaves it up to the crowd. I mean, this is the story in the Bible, is that he says, hey, do you want Barabbas? And the crowd says, no, give us Jesus. And so this is maybe the writers of the Bible saying, hey, the Jews picked the guy to die.
Yeah.
You know what I would like to put up on the board, maybe instead of that, which is kind of slightly related, is evangelism.
Mm. Mm.
So, because the point of the Bible written in this perspective was to evangelize this other group in a way that they wouldn't reject the teachings. Does that make sense? This New Testament is being written like 45 to 65 AD, you know, let's say 30 years after Jesus' death. And it's being written after/during the war with the Jews in the late 60s. So yeah. Do we feel good about putting evangelism up? Because I know that
let's put it up.
It's skewed the way that we thought of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I will just give us a time check. We only have not much longer to put names up on the board. So as fast as we can, get a few more names up there.
Judas kicked it off.
Yeah.
He's one of the 12 apostles. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
And he's notoriously known for betraying Jesus with the kiss. Mm-hmm. He's the one who disclosed his whereabouts to the chief priests and the elders. Mm-hmm. And he did it for 30 pieces of silver.
Not much.
They provided the armed guard that he brought to the Garden of
Gethsemane.
Thank you. Where Jesus went to pray with the other 11 apostles. So that this is how he gives him the kiss and addresses him as master. And that's how they know which one of them is Jesus. Yeah. So he's got to go up on the board.
Yeah. I obviously Judas did a naughty thing, but I have to say I have a lot of empathy for him.
I'm with you. I've always felt bad for he kills himself.
Yeah.
He does.
You know.
He definitely feels bad.
In Dante's Inferno, he puts Judas in the he's one of three guys in the very last ring of hell, which is frozen. He's frozen in ice or something. I forget that book, but Judas has a totally bad rap. Everybody thinks he's a dick.
Yeah.
How is he portrayed in
Jesus Christ Superstar?
I was going to ask in Jesus Christ Superstar, how is he portrayed in
the
that?
Musical, his moments where he's dying, he's sort of singing and screaming, you murdered me, you murdered me, and he's crying. It's so chilling. And then he stops in the middle of one word. He says, you murdered. And you know he's dead.
You know who always stuck out to me as like an annoying character was Peter too, because he denied him three times.
And he gets
like,
no, he doesn't like, get in trouble.
He doesn't get in trouble. Like he doesn't get a bad no. rap, but he gets forgiven.
Cornerstone of my church.
And then he gets put at he isn't he St. Peter the one who greets everybody at heaven? That's the sweetest gig.
It's a good gig.
Can I throw one more thing up at the board?
Yes.
Yeah. About sins.
Well, yeah, he died for our sins.
Original sin about us. Oh. That's Jesus' whole plan. He's like, I'm dying for your sins, everybody's sins.
So is it are we putting up sins like in a way where it's like we're putting up sins because if we didn't have these sort of failures of our personalities, then no one would need to die for them? Or are we putting sins on the board of like the idea that we believe that behaviors we have that are natural are wrong, then cause us to need a Messiah?
Sins in their pure form versus the concept of sins.
Exactly. Thank you.
So we'll put sins up and then we'll put sins in quotation.
There's two paths diverged in a wood here. The biblical version of who's to blame and this historical version.
I know.
And if we're following the biblical path just for a second, we also have to put God up there, right?
I mean, but isn't Jesus God?
A third.
Yeah, God's son. I mean, according to him.
Yeah, but they're all one.
He's the son of God. But they are one, is all I'm saying.
It's true. They all are one.
Yeah.
Dios mio.
Yeah. Put
the big dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I wanted to put up Satan. Because.
Guy's a dick.
Not just that, but according to Luke, Judas's action was the entrance of Satan into his body.
Ooh. Is there anybody else you want to throw up? Because we have a full board here, Death of JC.
Let's review,
I want to put Barabbas up there.
Barabbas?
He didn't just tell us.
Because if the story of Barabbas is true, if we follow that logic, right? Pontius Pilate says, you know, who do you want? Do you want Jesus? Do you want Barabbas? And everybody says, we want Barabbas to be survive.
Freed. Yeah.
Right, we want Barabbas to be freed. Barabbas knows he's a thief, right? And he knows who Jesus is. He could have just been like, come on, guys. Take
crucify me.
He should have stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, he could have stepped up to the plate. And then he could have been Jesus.
I'll tell you what, that guy could have totally changed the course of history. He could have saved Jesus' life.
Yeah.
I wonder if where he would are have the then bones? Just gone.
Where? Show me the bones. Yeah.
All right. So on the list for who's to blame for the death of Jesus Christ, Rome, Jesus himself, Pontius Pilate, evangelism, Judas, original sin, God, Satan, or Matt's Barabbas.
That's a huge list.
I think we need to combo God and Jesus.
I was just going to say the same thing. I think we got to take...
Love you, Matt.
Yeah. We got married in a Catholic church. I think...
Us too.
There's something to me where it's like the idea, and I guess maybe this is part of the issue, part of my skepticism, is like the idea that like he knew what he was doing all along, right? They knew exactly how everyone would behave. I guess I don't believe in, what is that, fatalism? I believe that people's actions have consequences that are not predetermined. So I think taking Jesus and God off the board is consistent with that, because I don't think they could have really truly known what would have worked.
So I believe we can take God off, and I also think we can take the biblical version of Jesus off. Now, Jesus the man, if we're just talking about historical figure Jesus, more might need to stay on a second longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
then does that mean we take sins off? Original sin?
I think we take sins off.
Okay. I mean, when I got this call, I was like, I know who did it. Sin. And it's
it's a classic. Yeah,
Pontius Pilate definitely stays
out. We have original sin out, we have God out, and we have biblical Jesus off.
So now
we just have
I think we could take off Rome.
Pilate. Oh, really? I don't think we can take Rome.
Can I debate?
Yes,
my
please.
Thought is that Rome, right? Rome was big, right? And Pontius Pilate was governor, right? And I don't think the United States has to cover for everything that Florida does.
You know, Pilate was the one who called the shots.
Right.
In my opinion, he's way more to blame.
Me too.
He's the one, yeah.
I mean, he ordered
and
it.
He ordered it, and he definitely felt threatened.
You want to bounce Rome?
Yeah.
I want to bounce Rome.
I want to bounce Rome.
Yes!
How do we feel about Judas right
For me,
now?
It's between Pontius, Pilate, and Judas.
Wow, wow, wow.
Interesting.
Can we touch on evangelism for a second? So just preaching the good word, is that really what's to blame?
Well, this would be like preaching the good word in a skewed manner so that now we have all of these people up on the board that maybe didn't really have anything to do with it.
Well, exactly. You're basically saying who's to blame for who's to blame. It's not exactly who's to blame for the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, you're right. I guess my whole, I have a chip on my shoulder.
Oh, but rest assured, Rebecca, at some point evangelism will go to the jail. Okay. We'll get it in there. Trust me, we'll get it in there.
Not this time, though. I'm crossing it off.
Okay, so we got Judas, Pilate, and Satan, and Barabbas.
Barabbas is still
Take
hanging
Satan
on
off.
There.
Barabbas is still there. Satan.
Yeah, but if we're doing really? Like history.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. That's true.
I never met him, so.
Show me the bones.
Show me the bones. And then Barabbas was Matt's last minute pitch. I feel, anybody want to take that on? I mean, I think you can make a case that he could have definitely saved the day, but I don't know that is enough to get somebody
blamed.
I have kind of my mind set up a little bit.
Okay. Oh,
and I think I want to know what you guys think. I would like to send Pontius Pilate to the alarmist jail and give Judas the big slap.
Wow.
I'm with you.
This is the thing. I feel
I'm
like
with Pontius
Judas is the bigger betrayal.
Interesting, because Pontius Pilate was just doing what he always does.
But really, we're going to let Pontius Pilate off the
hook?
No,
he's getting a big slap.
He was a terrible
guy. He's getting a big slap.
As a leader, you set a tone. He's ruling with fear and death. It's like they say, we've said this before, shit trickles, right? Shit trickles down.
Yeah.
That's a Rebecca-ism.
Is it not a real thing? Because I'm pretty sure it
shit,
is.
Shit
Where
rolls
does it
downhill?
Trickle from?
Shit
I don't know. If you put,
downhill.
You throw a piece of shit, it's going to trickle down. Gravity. Throw a piece of shit rolling. On a wall.
Depends a lot about the
down.
Consistency of the fecal matter.
I will say I've never heard shit trickles. I think it's shit doesn't trickle.
Shit rolls
it's
downhill.
Smushes.
Shit rolls downhill.
Shit smushes.
Okay. Somehow I mix trickle down economics with shit rolls downhill.
Yes, you do.
What do you think? I mean, I understand that Judas was like the guy close to him who like gave him away, and but
is there a case to be made? I'm arguing against myself now, but is there a case to be made that if Judas hadn't done it, somebody else would have?
Take the same sequence of events and replace Judas with someone, and does the same thing happen? And replace Pontius Pilate with someone, and does the same thing happen?
Well, and maybe Judas was a pawn in this whole scheme, too, because if he was taken over by Satan, and, you know...
At the end of the day, the person who had to get it done was Pontius Pilate.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. This is a tough one.
After Mary told me about that song that Judas sings in Jesus Christ Superstar, I feel so bad for that guy.
It's sad.
I put myself in his shoes.
But does you feeling bad for him
makes me
evidence of his guilt?
Yeah, but the thing is, Judas didn't kill Jesus. He gave him away.
Neither did Pilate.
Pontius Pilate sentenced him to death.
It's a tough one. It's a really, really... It might be one of the toughest ones we've had to decide on. But unless someone out there wants to change our mind or overturn the verdict...
Careful, you're going to be struck by lightning.
Oh, I just got scared.
I think it's settled. Judas, you're getting the big slap. Pontius Pilate, you're going to the alarmist jail. I would not want to be in a cell with Pontius Pilate.
I mean, compared to some of the other things we've thrown in there, Carnival Cruise Corporation.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't want to hang with them.
We couldn't have done it without this power couple, Matt and Mary. You guys are going to heaven in my books.
That's Thank right. you so much. God bless.
Means the most coming from you.
You have murdered me.
After Jesus' death, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, Constantine the Great, the first Christian emperor, abolished crucifixion in the Roman Empire in the early 4th century out of veneration for Jesus Christ, the most famous victim of crucifixion. Christians believe that, following the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Joseph was given permission to bury Jesus, so he brought fine linen, wrapped the body, laid Jesus in a tomb, and rolled a large stone across the entrance. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. After the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome prepared spices to anoint Jesus' body. When they arrived at the tomb, the stone had already been rolled away. They entered the tomb to find Jesus' body was gone. According to an article on BBC, Pilate was recalled to Rome to be tried for his brutal treatment of Jews, but the emperor Tiberius died and Pilate was never brought to trial. He is thought to have committed suicide in 37 AD, not long after the crucifixion. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be talking about the Astor Place riot.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.